seen quite clearly here in Psalm 119 as this psalm has 176 verses, and it's each one of the psalms begins with one of the letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And 22 chapters of 8 verses. And another interesting thing, of course, I didn't discover this myself, but other scholars and other those who've studied the Hebrew and have more wisdom about this than I could ever expect to have, each one of these verses in each one of these sections begins with the letter of that is represented there. In other words, in the first 8 verses, all of the 8 verses in that section of the psalm begin with the Hebrew letter Aleph. And that's just an interesting thing. I believe the Lord set forth these things. He gave, of course, we know that He gave these words to men to write down. But we believe this is the Word of God. And I believe that the Psalms are directly the Word of God in the sense that these are dictations of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who wrote this, we believe, being David. And as we see and we will see throughout this particular psalm, these are the words of Christ. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies, and they that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to Thy word. With my whole heart have I sought Thee. O let me not wander from Thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against Thee. Blessed art Thou, O Lord, teach me Thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of Thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of Thy testimonies, as much as in all riches. I will meditate in Thy precepts and have respect unto Thy ways. I will delight myself in Thy statutes. I will not forget Thy word. Now that's as far as I'm going to read this morning, and hopefully we can look at these verses. We'll go as far as we can. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. Now, it is natural for man in his natural mind and carnal thinking, especially religious men, when they look at this passage of Scripture, they would consider that this has some reference to their keeping of these things. And the reason that they think that they could be considered as the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, there is a measure in which we could say that of ourselves if we have understanding of how it is that the Lord works in His people and performs for us and in us by His power. We could say that. But realistically, what the Lord is saying here in this passage of Scripture is really identical to what Brother Al read there this morning when Moses set forth what the Lord told the nation of Israel to do. This is true. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. But who do you know that is undefiled in the way. See, I mean, for a man to say, well, that's me, he's not aware of who he is. When we read this, blessed are the undefiled in the way, when a man reads that and he says, well, man, I'm glad of that. No, when a man reads this in nature, in his carnal understanding, and he reads that, it ought to strike fear into him. Because there is no blessing to those who are defiled. Now you see, the law is that way. The law of the Lord is perfect. It's holy. There is no mercy in the law. The law says what it says. And those who are undefiled are blessed. Those who are defiled are cursed. Now that's just the stark truth. The Lord Jesus took delight in the law of the Lord. In His law, He did meditate day and night. And He manifested what this psalm speaks about. Blessed are the undefiled in the way. He was undefiled. He had no sin, neither was guile found in His mouth. There was no tendency to sin in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had no bent toward sin. See, you and I, we have to have a hedge put about us to keep us back because we're running towards sin. The Lord Jesus Christ, He said, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. His desire was to keep the statutes of God. Now, we can say, Lord, we won't keep thy statutes, but we know that left to ourselves, we'll go away from the Lord. But the Lord, in His perfection, He said, Lord, keep me. See, there's a difference. Because the Lord desired to be kept from a perfect standpoint of the fact that He desired that with His whole heart. You and I have a mixture of that in us. You know, sometimes we say, oh Lord, we want to walk in Your way, but then sometimes we kind of push the Lord back to the back, do we not? And say, well, you know, we'll go on and try our way for a while. Well, maybe that didn't work out too good. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Now, dear brethren, the only one in whom this can be said and in whose righteousness we hope to stand is the Lord Jesus Christ, who walk in the way of the Lord. He walked in the way of the Lord, in the law of the Lord. How do we know that? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. That's who's blessed. Those that seek Him with the whole heart. Well, you know, I've heard men say, well, I'm seeking Him with my whole heart. No, you never sought the Lord with your whole heart. Because there's always, you know, as long as you live in this flesh, you will not seek the Lord with your whole heart. And you would perish because of that, except for the mercy of God. Except the Lord Jesus Christ has stood in your room, in your stead, in your place as a substitute, as that one who has kept the law completely and perfectly. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. You know, back when we were in school, whenever the teacher would give a test and everybody did bad on the test, we'd always want the teacher to grade on the curve. You remember that? I mean, you wanted the teacher to kind of bring the standard down where we didn't look quite so bad. You know, I mean, if we made a C, if we graded it down on the curve, we could actually make a B or an A. Well, the law of the Lord's not like that. God doesn't grade on the curve. There's a standard of righteousness. And that standard of righteousness is Jesus Christ. And anything, anybody that does not measure up completely to that standard will perish. Now, if a man has been taught by the Spirit of God what he is by nature, then he knows himself to be in dire trouble. A religious man, he thinks he can make a deal with God. See, men by nature, they think that they can just come to God anytime they get ready, and they can, the Lord's just wanting to make a deal with them so bad until He'll just take anything they offer Him. Well, Lord, if you'll get me out of this, I'll serve you. All men, again, as Brother Al pointed out, all men going to serve God. You can't keep from serving God. Wickedest man on earth is going to serve God. He's going to serve God unto his own destruction, but he's going to definitely... Pharaoh, I mean, the Lord said, I raised up Pharaoh that I might show my glory in the earth, show my judgment. Said, for this same purpose I raised him up. And so the Lord does indeed. He raises up the wicked men of the earth to manifest His glory. Now, men don't like to think about that because, well, that just doesn't seem like that would quite be fair. Well, see, the Lord would manifest the glory of His grace in the earth, and it is by His love to unworthy sinners that He shows that. Because all men by nature are just alike. There's not a lick of difference in any man ever born into the world. The best of men and the worst of men. They're all the same by nature. And apart from the grace of God, they would all likewise perish. But you see, God, who's rich in mercy, He shows mercy. And they also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. How can we say that? Because in Christ, those who are in Christ, they have no iniquity before the throne of God. We're justified as if we had not sinned. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Who can argue with that? I mean, the Lord. You know, a lot of people, they bring out the law and they say, well, this is what God commanded us to do. So we're going to paste it up here on a sign, or we're going to put it out here for everybody to see. And this is the law, and we're going to make everybody's going to keep the law. Brother, we're behind the eight ball to start with. We've already broken the law. See, if a man was ignorant of the law of the Ten Commandments, if he'd never heard of the Ten Commandments, and then you brought the Ten Commandments to him and put it right before him, and you said, here's the law of God, and from that point forward, he said, well, I'm going to keep that. He'd already be lost because he's already broken the law of God. You see, I mean, as we read in Romans, all men have the law of God written in their heart. If you don't believe it, you know, just every man despises the things that men do to him that are against the law, does he not? I mean, if somebody comes to steal something from you, you might be the biggest thief in town. But I guarantee you, if somebody comes up to your house and steals something from you, you'll be mad about it. Why? Because the work of the law is written in the hearts of men. Men know. Yes, they do. You can't escape it. And Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently, not partially, but completely. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Now, by the grace of God, the Lord does put within the hearts of His people a desire to keep the law of God. It is a desire of the sons of God to do that which is right in the sight of the Lord. We just don't entertain any notion that we do that. See, that's the problem, is when men think they do that. As long as you understand that you don't do that, and that your hope and your expectation of righteousness is not found in what you do, but in what He has done, then, you know, that's a glorious thing. That is the work of grace. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto Thy commandments. Now, is that what He said? No, He said, when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. See, we like the law until we don't like it. You know, there's certain things we like. Well, this is pretty good, but then when it kind of comes against some secret sin or desire that we have, then, well, we don't like it quite as much. But he said, I will have respect unto all thy commandments. The Lord perfectly desired to walk in the way of his Father. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Did he not pray? Oh, forsake me not utterly. Now, he was in the measure in which he prayed, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The Lord did indeed turn away from him, the Father, as he saw the Son as sin. For the Lord will not look upon sin. Now, this is a mystery why no man can comprehend that completely, how that could be, that the Lord could forsake his Son and yet at the same time be one with his Son. I mean, I don't have any way to explain that to you that would satisfy the carnal understanding of men. But we do understand that he did pray. And he did have that understanding that the Lord had forsaken him. But here we see he's praying that same prayer. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Don't cast me away. See, that is the desire of the sons of God, is not to be cast from the presence of the Lord. And Jesus Christ, as a perfect Son of God, desired not to be cast out of his Father's presence. The one thing he desired more than anything else was to do his Father's will. And that was the one thing that he had to bear in becoming sin for us, to go contrary. To be, as he bore our sin, everything about bearing our sin was contrary to the way of God, yet he did it gladly, even though he desired not to be in that situation, in the fact of being cast out from the Lord. I mean, that was the agony that he had in the garden, was it not, as the sin of God's people was laid upon him? And he being of purer eyes than to look upon it and bore it, and knowing that the only way that he could please his Father was to become displeasing in his Father's sight. Now that's a conundrum, is it not? I mean, that's between a rock and a hard place. And he poured out his soul unto death, and he was crushed under the weight of that, and he sweat great drops of blood, the Scripture says, for our sake, because he desired to do the will of God. And yet he knew that in order to do the will of God, he must become displeasing in his Father's sight. That's a wonder. It's what we come to remember today. We remember his death till he comes again. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Who's a young man? See, every man thinks he's a young man. I still think of myself as a young man. I look in the mirror and I say, who in the world is that? But, you know, when I was a kid, I used to think old people thought like old people. They was the old people, and so they thought like the old people. But the reality is that, you know, we still think of ourselves as young. I still think I can do the same things I always did. I mean, you know, I could go climb that tree over there if I wanted to. I just don't want to. But you know, that wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? And so men, you know, we don't think of ourselves as young. So this is really, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way, speaking to all men, all women. You know, how shall we cleanse our way? Can we? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing? The answer is that we can't do it in ourselves. But he says here, by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Taking heed to what? Taking heed to the fashion in which a man can be clean before God. How can a young man cleanse his way? By starting to keep the commandments of God. No, by taking heed thereto to the Word of God, which tells us that we are sinners in need of a cleansing power out beyond ourselves. How can a young man cleanse his way? He can't in his own power. But by the grace of God, he can see the one who does make sinners clean. Oh, what a glorious thing. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. The Lord Jesus Christ demonstrated that, did he not, when Satan tempted him. He said, it is written. See, the word of God, he hid the word of God in his heart, that he might not sin against the Lord. Oh, that he might hide his word in our heart, that such might be, that we might be able to say the same thing. That the word of God, the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, might dwell in us richly, that we might not sin against the Lord. What is the greatest sin of man? I believe it's self-righteousness. To think that you're something when you're nothing. To think that you can partially obey the Lord and He'll be pleased with you. Well, we'll make it up to you, Lord. We'll go to church every Sunday next month. We'll make it up. I mean, we've been kind of slack, but we'll do something. We'll go out witnessing. We'll put some more money in the plate. Or we'll do this, that, or the other. No. That we might not sin against thee. Lord, teach me thy statutes. Let me know that the truth is, what the truth is. And the truth is that all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And all of our righteousness that is acceptable in the sight of God is that which is performed by Christ. And that which is manifested before us today. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. That has to be the Lord speaking, does it not? With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. You don't even know all the judgments of his mouth. How could you do that? I mean, how could David do that? He didn't know all the judgments of the mouth of the Lord. Because there are things that men can't know about the judgments of God. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. See, the way of the Lord is past finding out. And when a man has respect unto the ways of the Lord, he'll recognize that. Now sometimes we get lifted up with pride and we think, well, we know all the way of the Lord. We've got a handle on this. We can straighten everybody out. What people need to do is just come ask me and I can tell them. How it is. No. You know what the Lord's been pleased to show you. That's all you know. Job said, I heard about you with the hearing of my ears. See, you can learn a lot of stuff. I mean, you can get where you could write a book about the things that's in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that you know the truth of God. That doesn't mean that He's applied it to your heart. That doesn't mean that you have respect unto His ways. Because He alone can give you respect unto His ways. And the way that happens is when you fall down on your face and say, oh Lord, I don't know anything. Teach me. Show me. Because the way of the Lord is past finding out. But He has revealed to us some things, has He not? He has revealed to us that there is a Savior for sinners. I don't know all the mysteries of prophetical things that can be unfolded, perhaps, as you read the Bible. But I know what the spirit of prophecy is. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I know this, that Christ is the subject of all prophecy. And so, I have respect unto the ways of God. Christ is the way. And it's impossible to have any regard to the ways of God if we do not have respect unto the ways of Jesus Christ. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. I'm thankful today that the Lord Jesus Christ has not and will not forget the word of God. I forget it. You know, this fellow that I've been corresponding with, he places a real emphasis on memorizing the scripture. And I think that's a good thing. You know, everybody ought to memorize scripture. But see, we don't need to confuse memorizing the scripture with hiding the word of God in our heart, because those are two different things. Now, you need to memorize the scripture. It's good to memorize the scripture. But the better thing is to seek the Lord that He might write it in your heart, that He might impress those things upon you so that you do not forget His word. Do not, it's the thing that's in your mind and heart, not just in your mind, but it's in your heart. Because just like Job, as we talked about, he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. And I know a lot of stuff. I mean, you know, I could stand here and talk to you about stuff for a long time. I could wear you out probably, just stand here talking about stuff. What good would that be? What we desire, dear brethren, is not just to know these things as men can know stuff. Everybody can know stuff. I mean, you can go on YouTube now. I believe you could go on a computer and learn how to be a brain surgeon. There's probably a YouTube video on there. If you ever need to do brain surgery, just go on there and see it. Or if your appendix gets to hurt you, you could probably, you know, find one and cut the thing out. I mean, you can learn a lot of stuff. But only the Lord can cause you to love His way, to have respect unto His way. And His way is right before us today. He said, as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He comes again. Dear brethren, that's the only thing I want to manifest. I don't want to stand before you and manifest any great wisdom or anything. I don't want you to go out of here and say, oh man, he really could preach, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But I do desire, by the grace of God, that you go out of here remembering Christ. Because He's the only one worthy to be remembered. I mean, when all men have done all they're going to do, what's it going to amount to? Think of all the hopes and dreams and exploits and deeds of all of those people buried in that graveyard out there. And they don't amount to a hill of beans, do they? I mean, there may be some hills of beans that's growing out there that the roots went down and got some nutrients out of what was down there. I don't know. But there, you see, the Lord provided all that. And when we're dead and gone, He'll still be doing exactly what He's going to do. May we have respect unto His ways and know that we can do nothing apart from His mercy and kindness towards us.